Welcome to Leadership Lessons. I'm Pastor Adam. Thanks for being with us today on the podcast. I know it's been a little while since I've been able to record a podcast for you, and first let me apologize for that. We have been really preoccupied and busy opening a second campus for our ministry, and so much time has been focused on that, and I don't want to provide excuses. I just want to share with you where I've been, and that we've been about the Father's business and trying to grow and expand and really just fulfill the vision that God has given us. And so that's where I've been. And again, we apologize for that, but we're getting back into a routine. And in the coming weeks, you're going to be hearing from more than just me. I'm going to have some others on the program and bring in some other material that I believe is going to bless you and help you to develop and grow as a leader. But also for those of you who maybe you're not in, in a realm of leadership right now, but and you just need ministry, I really believe that we will be providing some things that will help and bless you as well. But today, I want to just share with you today about leadership. I really believe if you're looking for leadership, that you don't always have to look to the front to find it. So many times, especially in our churches, we look to the front of our churches to find leaders. And I've really learned and found that some of the best and most loyal leaders you'll find are not in the front, but they're often in the back. Because great leadership doesn't start out on the stage. It starts out in the back. And, you know, so many times in our churches and ministries and organizations, we put some of the most talented or the people with the right personality in a position. But I've really found that some of the greatest leadership is found in the back. You know, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10 says, "Do not despise the day of small beginnings." Do not despise the day of small beginnings. And we really, we can't despise when we're small. You know, I've watched our ministry here go through all kinds of ebbs and flows. You know, really, it is, and it can be discouraging. And at times, sure it is. But I know that every ministry goes through it. Every ministry experiences highs and lows. And I have to go back to the Word of God. I have to go back to what I've learned as a leader. I have to go back to what I know that God has spoken to me very many times. Because let me say this. It is possible for life to lead you faster than your mind is prepared to handle it. You know, positionally, we can be in a state of leadership. But emotionally and mentally, we haven't got a grip on what life has handed us. And so I've really found that even in the ebbs and flows of you know, just life, in the ebbs and flows of ministry, I say that to myself. I realize that it's possible for life to lead me faster than my mind is prepared to handle. And so positionally, I could be in a state of leadership, but maybe emotionally and mentally, I haven't got a grip on what life has handed me. And so I use that as a means for myself to just evaluate, you know, to just evaluate, where am I? Because I've found this, if you don't know what you have, you don't know how to take care of it. If you don't know what you have, you don't know how to take care of it. You know, boy, I could go far with that, but I really believe that sometimes we possess gifts, we possess qualities, we possess characteristics, we possess areas where we are extremely gifted. And if you don't know what you have, you don't know how to take care of it. If you're God has put you somewhere and you're positionally in a certain area, but maybe your mind and your emotions aren't catching up with where you are, you're not caring for it well enough. And therefore, you don't really know what it is you're packing right now. You know, I like to tell believers that that we're believers, we're followers of Jesus Christ, and we have to understand the power and authority that we are carrying. If we really knew who our God was, You wouldn't be doubting. You wouldn't be afraid. You wouldn't become weary. You wouldn't become fearful. All these things. Because we've got to really know who we are. And you will know who you are when you know who He is. And so I really believe that if you don't know what you have, you don't know how to take care of it. And that's just speaking to someone today. I really believe that. That'll speak to someone that hears this. You know, Luke chapter 12, verse 48 says, "To whom much is given, much is required." In other words, new levels, new devils, new challenges, new opportunities, right? When you say things, and we all have been there, but when you say things like, "I don't want to do this anymore," or "I can't take this," you are saying, "I don't want to go any higher," and you are rejecting the call to move forward. See, so much, we say things off the top of our head. We get frustrated. We become weary. We even get frustrated with our spouse or our children, and we'll say, "I don't want to do this anymore," or "I can't take this." In other words, you're saying, "I don't want to go any higher," and rejecting the call to move forward. Leaders, let me tell you something. I said this past weekend preaching, we have got to begin to take God at His word. When God promises you and I something, He means that. You know, not just that when the word says that life and death is in the power of your tongue, He means it. And so if you say, "I don't want to do this anymore," or "I can't take this," you're saying, "God, hey, I don't want to go any higher. I'm rejecting your call to move forward." And so I want to really urge you, leaders, just to be careful what it is you're speaking and declaring and decreeing, because I have learned that all conflict is not external. Some of it is internal. Every time you move forward, you have new conflict, new trouble, new challenges, and it's not all external. There's so much of our conflict, it is internal. You know, I meet with pastors and talk to pastors all the time, and it's interesting how God has connected me with people, and that I provide counsel to people who are older than me, some people who have larger ministries, some people who have smaller ministries. I provide counsel for people who are just launching into TV or this or that. And I have found that so many times they want to talk to me about the external conflict that they're experiencing. And when really what the Holy Spirit reveals to me is that, and the Holy Spirit will enable me to see through the external to realize it's not so much what's happening on the outside that is their frustration or causing them to be irritable. It allows me to see deeper and to realize there's an internal conflict going on in them. It's just the external circumstances are magnifying it. And so it's easier for us. Come on, leaders, let's be transparent here. It's easier for me to blame you for why I'm frustrated, why I'm angry, why things aren't working, than for me to have to confront what's going on inside of me and admit that there's something going on there. Oh, hallelujah. That's good right there. So many times we will blame it on our spouse, or maybe you blamed it on your ex-spouse. Maybe you're blaming it on your children. You'll blame it on your finances. You'll blame it on all that. But really, there's an inner conflict going on in you. And God is bringing it to the surface. God will allow, you know, when the Bible says in Romans that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, He means that. He means that whatever's happening externally that's causing irritability inside, you better deal with that internal conflict, my friend. Because if you do not, what I have made the mistake of years and years past is that if I don't deal with the internal conflict, I'll usually explode externally on the wrong person. And then I sometimes I'll sever a wrong relationship. Sometimes I'll lose credibility, right? There's various things that can happen. And so all of your conflict is not external. Some of it's internal, all right? Glory to God. Just remember, friend, when you complain about the level that you are at right now, you remain because you are not eligible for promotion. So many of us, look, I can get caught up in where our ministry is. We're sort of right now, yes, we're expanding, right? We just opened another campus, but there's also a lull in so many things. And yet, if I complain about the level I'm at right now, it disqualifies me from being promoted. You say, well, what do you mean? Just like the children of Israel. Because you cancel out the opportunity to go to the next level. But if I say, oh, you know, you can't get people motivated, nobody wants to come to church, and if I complain about not having any help, if I complain about this, I complain about that, and complain about where I am right now, see, my job as a leader is no matter what the situation is, my job as a leader is always to have vision to be looking forward. Come on, pastors, you need to get your eyes off of what is happening right now. Stop looking at your crowd size. Stop looking at their participation. Stop looking and seeing if they're shouting or they're dancing or looking at the altar responses and trying to determine whether or not what you're doing is successful. You need to have a vision for the future. We're looking at the present circumstances to determine and making all these decisions when what we need to be doing is getting a plan for the future. The Bible says that, that if we do not have a vision, the people will perish. Friend, you've got to have a vision to have people working towards something that is bigger than them. Otherwise, our ministries plateau. Otherwise, we hit these walls and we never can seem to get over them. We'll hit a certain number in our church and we never go beyond that. We can't ever get over 100, or we can't ever get over 300 or 1,000. And friend, you've got to have a vision. A people without a vision will perish. Pastors, your job is to declare that vision. Put it out before them. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. There's so much that I want to share with all of you. I'm just looking now to say, what is it that I want to share? I'm going to skip over some stuff for now. Hallelujah. I just want to be obedient today, and I want to share with you what I believe is important. I'm going to skip through some of my notes and just be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Yes, thank you, Lord. I heard the Holy Spirit say, you can be a leader and not the leader. All right. I really believe that the Holy Spirit is saying, don't let people push you beyond your competence. This can be for anybody, but especially for leaders, though. Don't let people push you beyond your competence. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, think about this. A rubber band is designed to be stretched. But my friend, when you stretch it, you use it the way it was designed to be used. But when you overstretch it, you break it because it wasn't designed to be used that way. In other words, friend, whether you're a leader or not, I'm going to ask you this question. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Have you learned your limitations? Do you know your breaking point? Do you know your boundaries? Hallelujah. And the reason I ask you that is because if you don't know your boundaries, then you don't know what will pop you, what will break you, what will be too much. Friend, this is why you and I have to understand that we can be a leader but not the leader. This is what I mean when I say don't let people push you beyond your competence. All right? Even as a pastor, as a senior pastor, I can be guilty of putting too much on too many people. Or on someone, especially when help is limited. But let me tell you, leaders, you cannot be afraid to say no. You cannot be afraid to realize that you're being asked to do something and it's above or beyond your competence, meaning that it's going to put pressure on you, stress on you, it's going to cause you, and not that we never want to navigate an uncharted territory, but that we've got to know our boundaries, all right? If you are going to be a leader, you can't have a 90-degree vision. You have to be able to see 360 degrees, all right? Which means I have to be able to know my boundaries. I have to know, you know, is that going to hinder me from seeing beyond, seeing all around me, from seeing the full picture, from seeing what I need to see? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, When you are a 360-degree person and you have a room full of 90-degree thinkers and seers, they get angry because, you know, you will make a decision that wasn't great for their department or their team, and you have to make a decision for the 360-degree organization, and they only see the 90 degrees. You need to understand that as a leader. When I say that you have to be able to have a vision of a 360-degree vision, you have to be able to see everything. You have to be able to see the full picture. And those of you leaders that maybe you're not the leader, but you're a leader. You need to understand that sometimes decisions are made based on the big picture, not just your view, not just your 90 degrees, or not just your area of ministry, all right? And so as a leader, you have to be strong enough to handle the conflict that comes from your own teams with making those decisions. You know, I've been guilty of making decisions and not everybody understands or agrees, or maybe for a period, maybe I had to make a decision and based on the information I had and I couldn't release all the details or the reasons why I made that decision immediately, but within days or weeks to come, I will. Then it's like people understand it then. You need to understand, if you stop thinking 360 degrees and you start thinking 90, you will come down from your position and start directing the choir instead of doing what you're supposed to do. Let me just share this with leaders. So many times, leaders, we get guilty. As a pastor, if I meet with the head of the media department, or I meet with the head of women's ministry, or I meet with the head intercessor, I can get really consumed with what their needs are. All right. This is why I believe it's important we hear from the leaders of all departments, of all ministries, because I can't get worried or focused on their problem, what they're dealing with. I appointed them to be leader of that area, and so their responsibility is to figure that out. I need to maintain a 360-degree vision. Their job is to have the 90. Amen? I want you to understand what I'm saying. And so if I come down and try to worry about how to fix their problem, how to make that department run more efficient and deal with all that, then I'm taking my eyes off of the 360 degrees that I need to be seeing. And I'm focusing on that. This is where a lot of pastors make mistakes. I have been guilty of that. Even, let me just be transparent. Recently, planning this other ministry, when the help is limited, you know, you got to deal with the issues. And so I would take my eyes off of the full ministry and be focused in on the sound or getting this hooked up or getting that. And boy, did I notice the impact that not only it made on me, but spiritually, the frustration, the irritability, the my lack of being able to really see what God was doing or being able to even sense what the Holy Spirit wanted me to sense. You've got to maintain be a leader of 360 degrees, all right? Because when you are the leader, you have to think in a 360 degree manner, not a 90. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Jesus. See, when you have to be comfortable with the fact that you will have conflict from people who are legitimately with you. There are people who they are called to be with you, they're called to be there, and yet you will have a disagreement sometimes. Just because someone disagrees with me doesn't mean they're not called here or they should leave, right? You have to be leader enough to know that someone can disagree with you and still be with you, and wisdom to know that from their perspective, it's not the best decision. You have to be leader enough to know that not everyone's going to agree with you, and then have the wisdom to know that from their perspective, it's not the best decision. All right? Whether that's buying a new building or renovating the current one, whatever. My point is are you leader enough to have a disagreement with somebody without starting to dislike the person just because they disagreed with you? Because you have to understand, and you and I as leaders have to be mature enough. This is why our 360-degree vision is so important, that you have to understand that disagreement doesn't mean betrayal. Disagreement doesn't mean betrayal. For some reason, we can have a disagreement with our spouse and we can get over it, move on, and life goes on. But for some reason in the church, if there's a disagreement, we have this belief that disagreement means betrayal. And it doesn't have to. I know in many instances it does, and it shouldn't. I should be able to disagree with you and still be able to worship with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's important. Disagreement doesn't mean betrayal. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I just really sense I have so much more to be able to share with you, but we'll get to it. I just want to be obedient today, and I'm going to stop there with the teaching, but I want to pray with you. I think it's really important that I just pray over this word that I've shared with you, what little I've gotten to share, and that I get to just pray and believe that God will give you revelation of it, that God will raise you up to be a better leader, that God will enable you to aid in helping the leaders that God has placed you with. So Father, now in the name of Jesus, I thank you and I praise you, God, today for leaders, and I thank you and I praise you, God, for those that aren't in leadership yet, but God, they're hungry, they want more. Father, I pray that the word and the wisdom that God I share today, Lord, will help and bring revelation knowledge in the name of Jesus. I break and I bind obstructions. I come against all the walls and the manner of thinking that has been erected in our minds that has caused us to be closed-minded in our development of being a better leader. But Father, I pray even now, God, as I just spoke moments ago, that disagreement doesn't have to mean betrayal. Father, bring forth and release revelation now. Father, help us, God, to mend relationships if they need mended. God, help us to have the right and proper submitted attitudes, God, to those leaders that we get to serve with and under and be a part of. God, I pray that anything and everything that I've shared today, God, will just permeate into the hearts and minds and the spirits of every man and woman. God will listen to this podcast, bless them, minister to them, God, strengthen them. God, equip us, Holy Spirit, to be better, stronger, more disciplined leaders, I pray and I ask. I decree and I declare these things now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Friends, I love you. We're praying for you here. You know, we're going to be releasing some more to this particular series for the podcast of Leadership Lessons, and I just appreciate you being a part of it. You can find more podcasts on the Podbean app. Or if you just go to our website at freshfirechurch.net, you'll see a link that's available that'll take you directly to our Podbean page. Maybe you're finding this on social media, and to get access to more of our podcast, go to our website, click on media, and then there is a link there that says podcast. If you click on that photo, it'll link you right over to our Podbean page, where you'll hear a couple of sermons, some leadership lessons, and other things that I believe will be a blessing to you and a help in your life and your ministry and as a leader. So friends, visit us there at the website freshfirechurch.net. As always, connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a note. Let us know what you think of the podcast, if it's beneficial, if it's helpful. Maybe you have a question, and if you do, some of you send those in and I can maybe take us some time to answer those on an upcoming podcast. And so we look forward to hearing from you. Friends, we love you. We're praying for you. And until next time, I pray the fire of God consumes your life. Goodbye, friends.